About 6 years ago,
I worked a part-time evening job at a video arcade. It was called Zap. And occasionally, a bunch of kids would come up from this school called the Beloit School for Troubled Kids. And I always kind of looked forward to when they did come up. It was a little time to spend time with them. I'd give them free tokens. They were about ranging from about 8 years old to 15. And I'll never forget one particular night. Two young girls came in with the group. They were about 12 or 13 years old, and they played some games for a while, and then one of the girls came and sat down by the counter where I worked. I had this little space where I made change and handed out treats and, you know, sold them. She sat down on the stool next to me, and she just was looking down at the floor, and I could tell she was somewhat dejected and discouraged. So I said, "Tammy," I said, it was a Monday night. I said, "Well, how was your weekend?" She said, "Oh, it was bad." I said, "Well, what'd you do this weekend?" She said, "Well, I went home." This school was a boarding school. They stayed there the whole week, and once in a while they got privileges to go home. And I said, "Well, what happened at home? I mean, wasn't it nice to see your folks?" No, it wasn't nice at all. She said, "They hate me." I said, "They hate you?" I said, "How do you know that?" She said, "Because they tell me. They tell me they can't wait till I leave. They wish I'd never been born." She said, "It's just really a drag to go home." Dawned on me as I was sitting there how insignificant, how low this young girl felt. And I was trying to search myself to be able to give her some hope and some words of encouragement. And I said, "Tammy," I said, "you know," I said, "whether you believe this or not, no matter what your parents have ever told you, Tammy, you're important to God and you matter to Him. And what's more, Tammy, you're important to me and you matter to me." She slowly lifted her head and looked at me, and her eyes were full of tears. And she said to me, she said, "You know, Mark, you're the first person in my life who ever told me I mattered, who ever told me I was important." I got a call just a couple days ago from a young woman, about 21 years old, and she was noticeably excited and elated on the telephone. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe she's engaged, or maybe she got an inheritance or won a lot of money or something. I didn't know she was so excited. She said, "I just had to call you and tell you what happened to me." I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "I just got off the phone with my mom." I said, "Okay." She said, "Today, for the first time in 21 years, my mother said she loved me." I could tell you story after story that would rip your heart out of young men and women that I've talked to, and adults of all ages, who grew up convinced that they were losers, convinced they didn't matter to anyone, convinced they were unimportant, and they were told that. You know, one of the primary reasons that young people, and people really of all ages, turn to alcohol and drugs is, number one, to gain a sense of self-confidence, number two, to forget their pain, to escape. Many young people turn to drugs and alcohol because they gain the approval of their peers, which gives them a reason to believe they matter. It gives them a reason to believe they're important. They're with it. They're cool. They're one of the gang, because they don't get that at home. Many young people and many adults turn to drugs and alcohol just simply to forget and escape for a moment the pain of their life. Some people's lives, many people's lives, to be real honest with you, are so painful. I remember talking to a friend one time. He told me, he said, "Yeah," he said, "I had to do a speech in college." And he said, I was nervous, but I was more than nervous. I was really scared. So I went down to the bar. I had three or four drinks, and I was feeling real confident. You know, they cut confidence in the bottle. You know, that's what it's called. Confidence in a pill. That's why many people, they can't make it through life without it, because they have no other source of confidence, no other source of self-esteem than what they gain from their drug friends or their alcohol friends. That's where they get it. Moms and dads, you and I can provide our kids with something more. We really can. And the Bible gives us answers for life. But there's something very important that I want to preface what I share with you today by telling you a little story. It's a story Jesus told about two people. He said there were two men that went to build a house. One man dug down deep and put his house on a solid foundation of life. And when the storms of life came and the rains came and everything beat against that house, the house stayed firm. There was another man. And he didn't give much thought to his house, and he just wanted to get in a house. So he built a house on the sand. The rains of life came, the storms of life came, they beat against the house. And the devastation, Jesus said, of that house was very great. In other words, almost beyond repair. And Jesus said this: the wise person is the person who hears what I say and does it. You know, it's one thing to hear these neat things. It's another thing to go do them. The foolish person is the person who has the same access to the same information. They hear it, but they don't do it. You will have success as you do the things you're hearing here today. God has solutions for you. And I want to share with you five principles this morning that will ensure your success with your children. The first one is found in a book in the New Testament called Philippians, and it says this. Paul is the writer, and he writes this little phrase: finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is of good reputation, think about those things. My first tidbit of advice to you is practice praise, mom and dad. Practice praise. Brent alluded to it. I'm going to build on it this morning. Make a big deal out of everything in your child's life, no matter how big, no matter how small. People thrive. Children thrive on praise, appreciation, and recognition. Did you know that studies show that the number one reason people look for a different job? Because they feel that they're not being appreciated and recognized for their work. That's the number one over monetary reasons. Now, moms and dads, if you and I are like that, you better believe your kids are like that. They thrive on your praise and they wilt under your criticism. They need you to make a big deal out of things in life. But also, moms and dads, our praise needs to be specific. It needs to be genuine and it needs to be sincere. It's so easy. I've found this as a parent. It's so easy to have my child come and they'll show me something they've colored. Coloring's a big project with smaller kids. It's so easy to just look, oh, that's really nice. And go back to what you're doing. Oh, that's beautiful, sweetheart. And they're like, oh, that's the neatest thing I ever saw in my life. And what a lie. You know, I mean, and after a while, you see the kids grow up and they realize not everyone thinks that. You must have lied to them. So what needs to happen is we need to make sure our praise is honest, it's sincere, and it's genuine. We need to take note and be creative. I tend, when my children bring me something, let's say they're going to bring me a picture that they've colored, I drop what I'm doing. I'll take the picture in my hand and hold it. And I'll look at it for a minute and study it. Sometimes you have to figure out what they are. And if I'm never sure what it is, I never go, gee whiz, neat, what is it? That kills a person's self-confidence. No, if I don't figure out what it is, what I'll do is this. You know, sweetheart, that was really a creative use of colors. I mean, the way you blended those colors, I like those colors. Or maybe it's a Lego project. They bring you this Lego. Legos are a big deal, you know, Legos. So they bring you this Lego project. I take it in my hands and I'll say, you know, son, that's really creative. How did you think of that? You know, that is really creative. I couldn't have done that, and I can't. Lego's just not my thing. I can't even follow the directions on the box. I never could figure out how kids do it. It just shows you how much potential they have. So moms and dads, practice praise every day. Every day. I find things every day to praise my children about every single day, as many times a day as I come in contact with them. Whether it's their attitude, whether it's their smile, whatever it is. Second point, be an encourager. Be an encourager. I was watching, as I'm sure many of you were, our wondrous, awesome victory last Sunday afternoon. You know, the Vikings. The one that we should have never won. It was an incredible game. It looked like two junior high teams playing, to be real honest with you, in the fourth quarter. And finally, just like junior high teams end up, someone actually came out with a victory. But something happened that caught my eye, and I thought, you know, I think the Lord did this just for me for today. Right after the game was over, there was a Brent Musburger and Irv Cross came on, and they had some highlights from other games. It flashes on that the Packers have just beaten the Bears. Incredible upset. So they're interviewing Don Majkowski. Brent's interviewing Don Majkowski, and what had happened was in the last 5 seconds of the game, Don took the ball. They were down inside the 20. It had to be a touchdown or there was no hope. He's almost gets sacked. He rolls to the right, and he finds a man open the end zone, and he just, I mean, right in between two defenders, and it looks like they have a touchdown, except the ref says it wasn't because he was over the line of scrimmage. So about 5 minutes after the game, they're reviewing the instant replay, and they find it. He hadn't crossed the line of scrimmage, and indeed they had won. So they were interviewing Don Majkowski, and Brent said, you know, this must have been a terribly emotional up-and-down game. He said, this was the toughest game I've ever played. Mentally, mostly, this was the hardest. He said, here's one of the reasons it was so hard. He said, earlier in the game, we'd been down on the 20, and I fumbled the ball. Then later on in the game, we were down on the 20 again, and I threw an interception. After the interception, I was walking back, kind of hanging my head, a little bit frustrated. And Coach Linafonte came over to me. He grabbed me by the arm and he said, Don, he said, listen, you'll be the hero of this game yet. And then in Don Majkowski's words, he said, God bless him. He must have saw a vision or something. Because that's exactly what happened. That is precisely what happened. What do you think would have happened if he would have had a coach like some people we know do, who sticks their head in the quarterback's face and says, why did you throw the ball? You imbecile! What do you think would have happened? Who do you think really won the game? You see, what the coach was doing was expressing to him his confidence in him. I believe in you. Don't worry about it. This game isn't over till it's over. And then what he did, he gave him a positive self-image to shoot for. I was reading a story not too long ago about Vince Lombardi. And one day out in the practice field, one of his tackles was having some trouble making some blocks. He was missing his assignments, and Vince felt he had to let him know about it. So he did. After practice in the locker room, this young man was sitting on the bench, his head between his legs, his helmet on the ground, and he was noticeably very discouraged and frustrated. Coach Lombardi came up to him, ruffled his hair, pats him on the back, and he looks at him. He says, young man, one day you'll be the greatest tackle in the NFL. Jerry Kramer said, from that day on, he carried that self-image of himself. He was elected to the Hall of Fame, and he is on the NFL's all-time greatest 50 team. You don't think words can make a difference in a person's life? Proverbs says this, a word spoken at the right time is like an apple of gold in a setting of silver. Wouldn't I love to have an apple? You know, the big ones. Solid gold in a setting of silver. That'd encourage me. I don't know if that'd encourage you, but that'd encourage me. You know, words are the same way. In fact, I'd rather have the words than the money. I'd rather have the encouragement. It's important, Mom and Dad, that your kids know you believe in them. That you affirm your confidence in them. And I want to share with you a couple ways. One is when you play with them. I'll talk to you dads for a minute. This relates to me as a dad. I really like athletics, and I really like sports. And I got to tell you, sometimes, dads, you know how it is. You'll be out there playing with your son, and you're kind of wanting him to be just like you, you know? Only he doesn't catch quite like you think you caught when you were 9, you know? And he doesn't quite do it like you do now at 30 or 40. And it's easy sometimes, and you're throwing a beautiful pass. I mean, nothing wrong with a quarterback here. You know, you're throwing these beautiful passes. I mean, they're right on the numbers, and they keep falling down. And you go, you know, what is the matter, man? We need to put some glue on your fingers? I have found with my children that in play is particularly a tremendous time to build their self-confidence. And one of the things I've been working with my son is to help him realize that being a great receiver basically is on the inside and not on the outside. I said, Jeremy, you got two hands, don't you? And you catch that ball, you got legs, you run, and you got eyes, and you're running beautiful patterns. But you know, son, sometimes where we lose the game is right here. And what happens sometimes, Jeremy's, after you drop one or two, you get a little dejected. But son, you're a great receiver. You do tremendous. And I'll stay out here and throw you as many balls as you want. Always remember that the big guys have to practice. The only reason they catch them, because they practice. And even last week, Anthony's dropping balls he shouldn't. And Wade's throwing balls he shouldn't. No matter how much you get paid, everybody's going to make mistakes. That inspires them and gives them hope. Another area that you can really build your children's confidence and that you believe in them is letting them contribute to family life. We have a little boy. He's almost 8 months old. Little Micah, he likes to climb. He's like me. When I was 3, I used to climb on the garage roof where we lived. When I was 3 and a half, I shimmied up a pole. My mom called me to come out. I shimmied down and caught a nail in the stomach and almost ripped myself open because I didn't listen to my parents. They told me not to do it, but I like to climb. My little son's the same way. The problem is his little legs don't hold him up. Well, they do for a little while, you know. And he'll be near the edge of the windowsill, you know, and he's standing and plop right on the chin, you know. Hurts. So that's my little daughter. She was playing with him and asked him to watch her. And, you know, you forget sometimes that he's starting to do these new things. And she got distracted doing something she was doing and trying to watch him at the same time. Next thing I know, I hear this scream and come up and he's crying and she's crying. So I knew there was two things that needed to be done here. One is, Micah needed mommy. And two, my daughter needed me. It's real easy to go, how could you have let that happen? Can't we trust you with anything? Instead, I knew this was a very crucial moment in her growth, in her self-confidence, in her self-esteem. I picked her up. We sat down. I said, honey, it's all right. Listen, little Mike could have done that to me. I mean, he has done that with me. He's starting to do things, you know, and he changes every day. I said, but listen, you do the best job of any girl I've seen your age watching a little boy. And Daddy's really proud of you. So don't worry about it. Mike will get better. He'll stop crying in a few minutes. And then, as soon as he was done crying, I went and got him and gave him right back to her. Right back. I got her right back in the ballgame. Do you understand what I'm saying? I gave it right back to her. Said, honey, what did I say by that? I trust you. I trust you. I wasn't setting her up to fail again. I knew she really cared. It happened to anybody. How often, though, what we'll do with our children is, I'll yank them out of the game. Let's sit on a bench. When they need your confidence and they need you to give them encouragement. Learn to be an encourager. Remember this, what your children hear often enough, they will believe. Whether it's good or bad, what they hear often enough, they will believe. The third thing is always be positive with your children. Do not be negative. There's a verse in Ephesians that says this. It's a verse I've taught to my children. It says, say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to, and what will give them a blessing. What does that say in layman's terms? Be positive with what you say. When you speak, make sure that it's kind, it's helpful, it's uplifting, it's building. Now, you and I live in a very negative world, don't we? We live in a very, very negative world. Your job, it's oftentimes the environment's negative. School, oftentimes the environment's negative. Play, oftentimes, is negative. Television, oftentimes, is negative and sarcastic and belittling. You and I must focus on the positive things in our children. I'll give you an example. Maybe you've asked your children to clean their room. They go back and they do what they consider a clean job. You go back and obviously you're of a different opinion. I found this to be true with children. What I'm thinking, you know, it's not really their fault. What I'm thinking about clean is something different than they are. So I've learned it's necessary to be specific, number one. But number two, I've learned how to motivate my children. So maybe I walk in and I notice the bed is really well done. The clothes are all neatly wadded and piled. And the toys are all neatly pushed. Okay. So the obvious thing is, you call this clean? Get back in here and clean your room. Okay, that's one way. The other way is to go, wow. You really did an excellent job making that bed. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I make it that good. So you've got them. Now you've got them encouraged, see? And then you say, why don't we come back in and we'll do the clothes the same way that you did the bed, see? And then you take them and you show them. You show them. And so I bought the kids this little bucket and this little, you know, matches their room color. And this is where the clothes go. He says, why don't we put them in here? And then, well, how long did you wear this? Oh, I just worked for an hour. You know how kids are, an hour. Well, let's fold this one back up and put it away. Or like your children, they're folding clothes. We've been teaching our children to fold clothes. They fold quite a bit of the laundry. And one of the worst things you can do as a mom and dad is go back in front of them and refold it all. I mean, nothing's going to take the heart out of them more. Take the time to show them, say, honey, that was really good. And then show them even more how they can be helpful. Always be positive with your children. Be positive about things that happen. Their failures are your opportunities to be positive. Do you understand? Their failures aren't going to ruin life. Everyone in life fails. And what they need is to know, by the way you interact with them, that failure is not the end of the world. That everyone fails and they don't ever have to take it personally. And you can help them by being positive about it. My children were out raking the yard the other day and they spent 4 hours, four straight hours, all three of them, 5, 8, and 9, raking the yard. I motivated them, number one, by paying them well. But that wasn't until they were done. Number two, I went out time and time again, say, this really looks good. Man, I'm proud of you guys. It's chilly out here and you're really hanging in there. Time after time, I just kept going out. And they got it done. 55 bags worth. 6 bushel bags. And that's only half the yard. The other half maybe we'll try today. So you see, we can motivate our children if we stay positive. If we stay positive. I want to mention one other area about being positive. It's so easy, moms and dads, to be critical. It's so easy to criticize. And kids feel that acutely. Let me ask you how you feel, how you would feel in this situation. You've been working in a job about a year, 2 years, and one day you really make a major mistake. Something really goes wrong, and it was your fault. About 11 o'clock, you get a call from Bob, the boss. He says, George, I was wondering if we could have lunch together today. You're thinking, oh my goodness, this is it. This is it. He found out, it's got back to him. You know, this is our... the goodbye lunch. So you go out to lunch and you sit down and George, Bob says to you, George says, first of all, I want you to get whatever you want. Order whatever you want. Just whatever you want. You know, in your place, the cheapest thing is $19. He says, just get whatever you want. And then as you're waiting for your food, he looks at you and he says, you know, George, I've never told you this, but I want you to know something. You've been one of the best things that ever happened to this company. You are just a tremendous asset to this company. And I don't know that I've ever told you that before, but I wanted you to know that. How glad I am, you know, our personnel department had the guts to hire you, had the wisdom to hire you. Because you've been doing a tremendous job. And listen, that mistake today, I made that at least 10 times since I've been with the firm. Forget it. How would you feel? And then to top it all off, he says, by the way, oh yeah, you'll be starting to get $200 more a month starting today. How would you feel? Man, would you be motivated? Oh, sure you'd be motivated. Of course you would, obviously. That's the problem with management. So much they don't know how to motivate their people. Most people are motivated by being yelled at. You know, you're scared to death to lose your job. You don't even want to go into work. You know what, moms and dads? Many times kids don't even want to come home from school. You don't want to go to work, they don't want to come home. It gets pretty old to be around. Create a positive environment for your children to grow in. Now, the next thing I'm going to say is very important, especially fathers. Listen very closely to this. Statistics show that women, especially, have a tremendous problem today with their self-esteem. We see anorexia and bulimia, a consuming awareness of weight more than any other time. With both your children, male or female, but especially your daughters, do not ever tease them about how they look. Do not ever belittle them by saying, "Hey there, chubby. Hey there, fatso." Respect their dignity. You would be amazed what your daughters, it would blow your mind if you knew some of the things that are said to them at school. That they don't really have the guts to come and say to you. Some of the things my wife's told me she went through when she was 12, 13, and 14 is devastating. They don't need it from you. What they need to know from you, mom and dad, is they're attractive. Like the Bible says, they're fearfully and wonderfully made, and you're proud of them just the way they are. I want to tell you a little example, something that's personal, happened to me. When I was growing up, my father was basically a very positive guy. He was very supportive. In fact, he built in us, and particularly in me, a can-do attitude. The reason I say particularly in me is because there were some drastic changes that came about in my father's life from my formative years to my brothers and sisters. I am the oldest of six. And I have one sister and four brothers. And he always said, "Mark, you can do anything you want to do." And he always built that in us. He was a real merciful guy to people who had less, to people who were handicapped or were hurt. Boy, if he caught us making fun of somebody, you know, or poking, we were in big trouble. The problem is that my father didn't insist that the siblings treat each other the same way. And you know what most kids are like? I'm going to be honest with you, kids. I'm going to be honest with you, moms, dads. We're piranhas. Hey, ugly. Hey, there, butt teeth. Hey, there, fatty. Fatty, fatty, fatty. And it's going on right in your own basement. And you don't know about it. And I have to honestly say to you, I destroyed my brothers and sisters' self-esteem. One brother in particular, I teased him till he would bawl. I was so cruel. I do not allow that in our home. I absolutely insist they treat one another with the dignity and respect that I treat them. And if they don't, we'll talk about that later. It's an absolute must in our home. You must insist that they're the same. The fourth thing, moms and dads, is be forgiving. What does being forgiving do with your children? It makes them secure. It makes them know no matter what happened, you're going to forgive them. You're not going to hold it over their head, make them feel guilty. So often a kid is just treated with contempt, like, "Get out of my face." Listen, does God treat you like that? God is so forgiving. God is so merciful to you and I. Treat your children with the same mercy, the same forgiveness, and I'll tell you, they'll be secure instead of insecure. They'll be confident. And you don't want to know something else? You don't know my relationship with my kids? My kids will even come to me and tell me things that they did wrong, and they know what the consequences are. That's the kind of relationship I have with my children. No matter what, they know. I can come and tell my dad anything. We'll deal with it. It's over. It's forgotten. It's forgiven. The last thing, the fifth thing I want to share with you this morning, and this is most important. Upon this one, all the rest are built. Without this one, the rest of them will crumble. Moms and dads, love each other. Nothing is more unsettling to a child than the strife, the bitterness, the resentment that they see between the mother and father. Love your mate. Practice with your mate all the things that I went over last week and all the things I went over today, and you'll be amazed at what your marriage is like. And you'll be amazed at the confidence and the security that your children have. I want to tell you what it can do to the family after 23 years of being married. One day my father just decided he was tired of it, and he left. He left. My mom had been a housewife and a mother all her life. He left. She had no job. The sheriff came and took the house. And I wasn't living at home at the time, but my three brothers and my sister were. And I had a brother 11. And it devastated his life and still has to this day. Every time I'm with him, I'm trying to build his confidence and his self-esteem. My father never wrote. My father basically abandoned his family and still has to this day. And it devastates kids. It devastates them. You may think you have problems. I want to tell you, there's no problem God can't work out. There's no problem that if you and I are willing, mom and dad, to sit down, talk about, and be unselfish about, that we can work out. You do these five things, and I'll tell you something. You'll keep your kids away from drugs, and you'll keep them away from alcohol. You are capable of these things, mom and dad. You are capable of being a great parent. With God's help, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. Next week, I'd like to invite you back. The next 3 weeks are crucial in this series. And I realize Thanksgiving's coming up. If you can make it, please try to make it 2 weeks from today. But next week, I'm going to talk about how important values are to your children and how to instill them in your children. Without values, your child is totally unprotected in life. On Thanksgiving weekend, I'm going to discuss how to teach your child to say no, how to help them overcome the power of peer pressure, and how to choose good friends.